Okay, that's time. So let's go for the last poll of the day.
I'm Peter Tonic, and today I will talk about FreeBSD audit source for Cisco Engine and some other Cisco Engine news related to FreeBSD. First, a few words about me. I'm from Budapest, Hungary. I'm a FreeBSD user since 1994 and have been updating Cisco Engine FreeBSD ports since 2010. And I also regularly help with other BSD variants and macOS. Let me give you a quick overview of my talk.
Oh, sorry.
It's okay.
The idea for the FreeBSD audit source for Cisco Engine came at EuroBSD in Dublin a couple of months ago. And I did it in the coming days. So today I will introduce you to Cisco Engine, a few words also about the FreeBSD audit subsystem. Then I will show you how to work with audit logs within Cisco Engine. And finally, I will show you a couple of more Cisco Engine news related to FreeBSD. But first of all, what is logging? Logging is a recording of events like an SSH login message, and Cisco Engine is a logging daemon with a strong focus on portability and high-performance central log collection. Originally, it was developed in C, but now you can extend it in Java and Python as well. It has four major roles. It can collect log messages, it can process messages, it can filter them, and finally store them either locally or to a remote destination. Cisco Engine can collect system and application logs together, which can provide quite useful contextual data for either side. It's a portable software, so it can collect log messages from a wide variety of platform-specific sources like devlog, journal, sound streams, and so on. Also, one of the oldest still in use Cisco implementations, it can work with the legacy syslog messages or using the new syslog protocol where UDP, TCP or encrypted connections. And it can collect all kinds of text data from applications through file sockets pipes and application outputs. That's what we will use today for audit logs. But there are many more possibilities, as you can easily extend syslog NG in Python. And implement an HTTP source, Kafka source, or many others. In my view, the most important role of Cisco Engine is that it can process log messages. It can classify, normalize, structure logs using built-in parsers, the ParternDB parser, CSV parser, JSON parsers, and many others. It can also rewrite messages, and not just, and you don't have to think about falsifying log messages, but for example, anonymization is required by various compliance regulations. It can also enrich log data with GIP or reformat them to the requirements of various destinations using JSON formatting or isodate or whatever. And already mentioned Python, you can implement any of the above features in Python, but you can also use it to enrich log messages from databases or do filtering, which leads us to next topic, filtering. It has two main uses, discarding surplus log messages, like making sure that you do not store any debug level log messages as that can be pretty expensive quite quickly, or for message routing, like making sure that all your authentication-related events reach your scene system. There are many possibilities. It can be based on message content, various message parameters. You can use comparisons, wildcard, various filtering functions. And best of all, you can combine all of this using Boolean operators. Finally, you have to store log messages somewhere. Traditionally, you either stored log messages locally to a text file or forwarded log messages using the syslog protocol and saved log messages there to text files. But nowadays, there are many more possibilities. You can forward messages in various formats to SIEM system, various log analytics applications, but also store them to databases, big data destinations like Hadoop, document stores like Elasticsearch, MongoDB, various message queuing systems like Kafka. And here we have two generic solutions as well. I often mentioned Python. You can use Python to write destinations, but you can also use the HTTP destination and reach various APIs using the HTTP destination. This is actually used for Elasticsearch, Telegram, Slack, and some others. Here I want to emphasize an important SysLogNG feature. It's message parsing. It creates name value pairs from interesting message parts. Why is it important? Because normally, when a log message arrives, SysLogNG or any other logging solution treats us as a huge string and doesn't know anything what is inside it. But if you parse these log messages and create name value pairs, these name value pairs can be very useful later on. For unstructured log messages, you can use the patterndb message parser. For structured logs, we have parsers for comma-separated values, JSON, XML, key value pairs, and others. And you can combine these to new parsers, and we have quite a few examples for this in the SysLogNG configuration library. So we have parsers for sudo log messages, Apache log messages, Cisco log messages, as they look like syslog messages, but well, they do not really compliant. They are not really compliant, so some additional parsing helps to get the information out of them. So why name value pairs are so important? Because they help in filtering a lot. Just consider the previously mentioned SSH login message. If it's just a long string, then you cannot really filter based on the content of this log message. But if you parse it, then you can see that it's coming. It's user root trying to connect from a given IP address from using a given port and an authentication method. And you can create an alert, for example, based on the username. It's also useful for discarding surplus log messages. And for storage, it's also very useful, as you can reformat log messages to the needs of a given destination, like sending name value pairs to Elasticsearch. Or one of my favorite example is one of our users is sending VMware log messages over the network, but those are really long log messages with lots of content, but from those only very minimal information what is really necessary for security analytics. So they forward only, they parse the log message and forward only those two fields which are necessary for security analytics, and this way they save terabytes of network traffic and storage costs each day. Obviously, name value pairs are also very useful outside of SysLogNG for reporting, alerting, and dashboards. Just think of Elasticsearch and Kibana. Now, let's change to FreeBSD audit. It's a security subsystem within FreeBSD, which can log security-related events. It's highly configurable what is included in these logs, and these logs can be used for intrusion detection or postmortem analysis of security incidents. These are binary files and compatible with macOS audit logs as well. You can enable audit logs in rc.conf, or you can start it from the command line as well. And configuration is under the etc security directory, where you can fine-tune what is logged, what is not included in the logs. By default, these logs are stored in their audit current. The content of this file can be displayed using PR audit. When the FreeBSD guys at EuroBSD contacted me, I first thought that we need to write a driver based on C, but that's quite a long process. But luckily, when I checked how the FreeBSD audit subsystem works, I realized that we can use the PR audit command, the output of the PR audit command within SysLogNG, and that way, creating a new source driver for SysLogNG took just a few hours, including writing the documentation, instead of much longer times. So what you need to be careful when creating the driver for SysLogNG, that events should be on a single line. The application showing the output should be able to work from input from tail or be able to continuously run. And in a good case, it should also provide structured output. In case of PR audit, these are the command line options I used, minus L for single line output, minus P to be able to work from the input from tail command, and minus X for XML output. And if you want to integrate something else with SysLogNG, you should check for similar options. This was my original SysLogNG source, FreeBSD audit SysLogNG source. It works, but it has all of the implementation details, and it's not really nice. And if you want to use it multiple times, then you copy and paste. That's also not really nice. So instead of that, what I did was creating a reusable configuration block for SysLogNG. This is something what will be part of the next SysLogNG release. And this will hide away of the most of the implementation details from the users, as you will see in later slides. Here, what we did, we use PR audit, and for that we define some default command line options. Here, we use the options shown on the previous slide. So single line uses stale and has XML output. Note that XML output is very nice. It works with SysLogNG, but only if you compile SysLogNG yourself from ports, as it's not among the default options. So here is how you can use it. As you can see, it's much nicer than seeing all of the command line options and file names and everything. Instead, just write FreeBSD audit and that's all. Next, we define an XML parser, and all of the fields are extracted with a prefix, so we can easily identify what is coming from the XML parser. We also define a JSON formatted output. This way you can see all of the name value pairs extracted from the audit logs. And finally, we have a log statement which connects all of these building blocks together. The source, the XML parser, and the file destination. And here you can see log message written by SysLogNG, and you can see that it's a SSH login message found by the audits, FreeBSD audit subsystem. You can also work with a plain output if you do not have XML support included in SysLogNG. In this case, you need to define parameters for without XML support. So it's just minus P minus L. Here we simply write the results to a text file, and the log statement at the end connects these two building blocks together. Here you can see a plain text output. You can hear the syslog message header, so the date, the hostname, and after that you can see the FreeBSD audit log as plain text. There are a couple of limitations of this solution. We will most likely fix some of these, but some of these are outside of the scope of SysLogNG, which means that if field coming from the audit logs has a space in it, then SysLogNG adds double quotation marks to the given field. For tags, the XML parser adds a leading underscore to tag names, which cannot be changed or removed. And as we do not read the log file directly, we cannot bookmark where we are, which means that when SysLogNG is restarted, there might be duplicate audit logs or some missing logs, depending on the amount of log messages. And finally, some good news for SysLogNG users on FreeBSD, and actually I'm trying to actively push FreeBSD-related improvements within SysLogNG, as next to Red Hat Linux, FreeBSD is our second largest user community. So I'm very happy to share that the latest SysLogNG release fixed some long-standing problems with code compatibility, which means that we can compile a lot more drivers on SysLogNG, and we have OpenTelemetry and BigQuery support and a few more available on FreeBSD. We also fixed a few configure related bugs, which means that MQTT support is now available on FreeBSD. And we have a brand new implementation for directory monitoring based on KQ, which means that reading files, especially if you have many files in a directory, it's now much faster, and it's using a lot less resources on FreeBSD. And actually, it's much better on FreeBSD than on any other operating systems. So let me summarize my talk. You can easily integrate application output with SysLogNG, just like FreeBSD audit logs, if the application runs continuously and can print single line messages, preferable in a structured format. There are several new drivers available for SysLogNG on FreeBSD, so you can start working on OpenTelemetry, for example. And file reading and directory monitoring became a lot more efficient on FreeBSD with the latest release. So thank you for your attention, and I'm ready for some questions.